to the glory of God. And by looking in, if you want to get to know God, there was one of the early church fathers that said, getting to know God is like gazing into the sun.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all I do. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you afresh for this another wonderful opportunity to be in your house, but more importantly, to have you in our hearts. Now, God, move in the text by your Spirit as only you can do. Unfold it, disclose it, reveal it to us. Meet us right where we are and then minister to us there. And then, God, lift us to the place you'd have us to be. Allow us to practice the principles for profit and thus give you the praise. It is in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Well, why don't you give the Lord a hearty hand of praise tonight? We bless the name of the Lord, and I'm so grateful for your presence here tonight. And once again, for all of these pastors and preachers, evangelists, missionaries, all of the men and women of God, and especially the people of God who are here. And certainly we are grateful to God because we do recognize that God draws those persons to hear a word that he has designed for them. And I tell folk, whether it's a packed church or whether it's a church with just a few people in it, God knew who would be there. And he customized the word for each of them. And tell your neighbor if you're not ashamed. Say, neighbor, God knew you would be here tonight. So he planned this word just for you. Hey, give him some praise if you know that's true. I am blessed. We had lunch today, our First Lady of this church was there with us, along with the First Lady of our church, and it was a particular blessing to watch Sister Hamilton and Pastor Hamilton intermingle together. You know, after you have been together for so long, I've learned that just because you've had long life don't mean you've had good life. And so since Sister Montgomery was with me, I was particularly cautious and careful to watch them, you know, as I said, intermingle together. So I just love the way, and she is just so angelic and soft-spoken and sweet. And I said, Lord, as we were halfway through lunch, thank you that they're not a bitter old couple. Yeah. I was reminded of that story where this man who was a sweet old man, but his wife was bitter. And I had never been in the company of Sister Hamilton before, so I didn't know. But this woman was mean, and the man was a very sweet man. And he looked at his wife one evening, and they were enjoying a meal. At least he was. And he looked up at her, and he said, baby, I'm proud of you. And she said, huh? He said, I'm proud of you. What? He said, I'm proud of you. She said, well, I'm tired of you too. I'm just so glad Sister Hamilton wasn't like that. It was an enjoyable experience. I have thoroughly enjoyed myself this week here in the city of Alexandria, starting off with the Great Alive Oak Church and my good friend and brother Dr. Hardison and the fine people of his church and the people of this community and all those who shared in the worship services there. And then we moved over here, and the worship service continued to escalate and elevate. And it's a sign of people of God wanting to hear and to know what thus saith the Lord. And I certainly thank God for the radio listening audiences, those who have come by way of our radio ministry to partake of that. And I certainly appreciate every seed sown in our video and audio ministry, because it certainly helps us to take the word and to bring hope and light to people who are seeking God in a more serious and sincere way. I always tell folk, because I do want them to know up front, God has gifted me in many ways, and I like to leave the impact that God wants, not the impression, because impressions are usually that is on the outside. Impacts are those usually on the inside. And I don't make no excuse for moving by the Spirit of God, because there are some people here who are hurting. There are some people who need a word from the Lord. There are some people who need some direction from God. There are some people who want to get closer to God, and God does not have time for clowns in the pulpit. So I just want to know, and want you to know, that I'm going to give you the best that God has given me to give to you. But if it falls short of your expectation, then I'm sorry, because again, I'm coming here to help encourage, to enhance, and to lift up the people of God. And I pray that you would come on along with me and go on this journey. I was told, is Brother Miller here, Reverend Miller? Reverend Miller? Reverend Miller, God bless you. Reverend Miller was here. I met him on Wednesday night, and I came in, and his wife was telling my wife, say, Reverend Miller got dressed at 12 o'clock so he could be on time for 7 o'clock. And that impacted me. And he said, when I shook his hand, he said, I'm going to be here every night if the Lord say the same. And his wife said, Lord, let Friday come, because he's going to worry me to death from 12 to 7, making sure he's not late. But I tell you what, now that kind of hunger for the word of God at his age To God be the glory, glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. Oh, glory, glory. Come on, lift your voices tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, since I laid my, thank you, Jesus, burdens down. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. Oh, Lord. I feel better, so much better. I feel better. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, since I laid my, thank you, Lord. Burdens down. Oh, Lord, since old folk used to say this, listen, I'm going home to live with Jesus. Oh, mama, since I, thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm going home. Oh, Lord. And if somebody wouldn't treat them right, they'd say something like this. Listen, I'm gonna tell God how you treat me. Oh, since burdens down. Burdens down. I'm gonna tell
how you treat me since I
for my Lord. And then they would go on to another song and they say this: this old building keeps on leaning. Oh, I've got to move to a better home. This old building keeps on leaning. Oh, listen, these old foot steps are getting shorter. Oh, I've got to move to a better home. Oh, Lord, these old footsteps are getting yeah, well, it's glory, glory, a hallelujah, Lord, 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 since I paid my well, give the Lord a hand of praise. You'll get your Bibles and stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. turn them to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And I want to lift out verse 5. Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, this classic text of Isaiah, who looks spiritually into time and sees the Lord Jesus Christ and shares with us a prolific and profound view of the Savior who gives himself and his life for whosoever will. It's important for us to look at this word and understand. If you would back up to verse 4, it says, surely. Somebody say, surely.
Surely.
He hath, past tense, borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Then your verse, walk on down to verse 6, tells us something else. It says, all we like sheep. Characteristic of sheep, one of them is that they are dumb. They're dumb because look at what the rest of the text says, have gone astray. Listen, we have turned everyone, not even enough sense to stick together, to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. So when you look at verse 4, you see the reality of Christ's suffering, because he was blamed for, stood in the place of, took our sins, and bearing our burdens. It is the reality of Christ's suffering because of our sins. When you really think about it, he suffered for those past tense, those present tense, and those future tense. And so literally, you can surmise that Jesus suffered for you. All of your sins, all of your trespasses, all of your transgressions, every mistake, every mess up, every pitfall, everything that you've done contrary to the will of God, Jesus suffered for you. But not only is there in verse 4 the reality of Christ's suffering, but in verse 5 it gives us the reason for Christ's suffering. And it was that he was wounded, he was bruised, he was chastised again for our sins. But not only do you have the reason for Christ's suffering, but you have the results of Christ's suffering. And here it is. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That means on his shoulders rest the sins of the entire world. At this passion time of the year, how important is it for us to visit afresh this text? How much each of us should refresh ourselves in what Jesus has done for us by way of suffering, so that we do not become insensitive. You see, the problem with us hearing the story over and over again is that we allow the familiarity of the text to cause us to become insensitive to the text. Here's a point in case. Man went fishing one day. Took his small dog with him. And his little dog was a feisty little dog. And every time he caught a fish, that little dog would jump up and start barking and jump in his lap. And every now and then he would miss a fish because of that dog. And he would always tell the dog, sit down, don't move. And the dog would sit down and move until he caught a fish. And then when he started reeling in that fish, that dog would get excited again. He was happy for him. And so on the third time, after causing the man to lose the fish, he caught one of the biggest fish he had ever caught in his life. And he was excited. And he wrestled with this fish for minutes. And he got the fish almost up to the boat. And he looked at the dog, sit down. And he got the rear end that fish, and he was almost lifting him up, and the dog got excited, jumped all up into his arms, started licking him all over the face, and he's trying to push the dog out the way. And the dog, listen, would not give up. He was excited. The man lost the fish. The man went in his toolbox, pulled out a large knife, and he grabbed that little small dog, and he put his paw on the end of his boat. And he chopped off that paw. Then he grabbed the other paw and he put it on the end of that boat and he chopped off that other paw. And he flipped that poor little dog around and chopped off that paw. And the last one, he held the dog up and said, I told you to sit down and not bother me. And so he chopped off that dog's paw and then threw him in the water. And I tell this story, and I hear the awe and the sigh and the sobs. And I tell you about a Savior. How they drove nails in his hand, throwing a crown on, and you just sit there like I ain't said nothing. Become insensitive because you heard it so much. Every time it ought to become more and more intimate to you. It ought to become more and more real to you. You ought to become more insensitive, more and more sensitive, because you realize, had he not done it for anybody else, he did it just for you. And so you realize God made him responsible for three things. First of all, for finding you. He came to seek and to save that which were lost. God made Jesus responsible for finding you. But not only that, but he made him responsible for guiding you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's why he told his disciples, and he tells us as well, follow me. And then lastly, he not only guides us, but he guards us. He has said, everyone that his Father has given to him that is in his hand, the devil in hell can't pluck him, can't pluck you, can't pluck me out of his hand. He guards us. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you look at this word, look again at what Isaiah said in the 5th verse. But he was wounded. Wounded. Let's look at the 5 ways that Jesus was wounded for you and for me. One medical doctor studied the text, recognized that from Scripture, the 5 ways that man can be inflicted with pain and with suffering in the human body, Jesus suffered all 5 of them. Firstly, he suffered a contusion. And a contusion is when you're punched in the face or hit on the head. And Jesus Christ suffered a contusion for you and for me. Imagine what it feels like. I know you've hit your head, or somebody has hit your head. Whether it's been an accident or an incident, you know what it feels like. But it's worse when you are hit on the head for somebody else. And so Jesus suffered a contusion for us. But not only did he suffer a contusion, but he suffered a laceration. A laceration is a scourge where a rope was tied with different types of metals and stones and claws and made multiple lacerations. He was whipped with 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes. Every time they took that scourge, lacerated his body with a blow. If you imagine it, it was almost like a big bone with metal in it. It was like with sharp objects with it. It was with claws in it. The claws were like 4 to 5 inches. And every time they hit his body, it ripped his skin. And they did that 39 times. Some of us couldn't take it but 2 or 3 times at most. You remember when you used to get lacerations? Back in the day, we don't get them no more. We used to get them with switches. Extension cords. Anything grandmama, big mama, to pick up to knock the devil out of you. Am I talking to anybody in the house? You'd have whips all over, and sometime if they hit long enough and strong enough, there would be blood coming from the whips. Yeah. Jesus suffered lacerations for us. But then thirdly, as the word said, he was wounded. He suffered penetration. And that's when they took the crown of thorns, which also had those thorns. I was talking with Reverend Hamilton today at lunch, and one of the privileges I had was going to the Holy Land in the year of 2000 and traveling and seeing the biblical places of antiquity, and having one interest in particular was looking at the thorns and the vines. And they had vines which had thorns on them 4, 5, 6, some of them 7 inches long. And to think how they took a vine and plaited it together so that it was almost as if it were doubled and tripled. And then they tied it together and made a mockery in this crown that they pressed down upon his head. And the thorns penetrated his skin, and many times all of those different thorns created streams of blood because of the penetrating of the scalp and the skull. And listen at this, Jesus suffered that for you. Then fourthly, perforation. That's when those mean men drove the nails in his hands. Drove those nails in his feet. And they perforated his skin and bones for you and for me. And then lastly, incision. Incision is simply when they took the spear and pierced him in his side to make sure he was dead. And blood and water came forth. Blood representing redemption, and the water for baptism. And it was